We have Khalil B.
Right on. I'm an addict. My name is Khalil. I want to thank God first for allowing me to be here, because I know without his grace and mercy, I wouldn't be. I'm real. Okay. I want to thank God for allowing me to be here, because I know without his grace and mercy, I don't even have to be. Oh, man, I feel like I done injected a triple shot of espresso, you know? And I'm amazed. I don't think in my 24 years of coming to meetings I've seen this many people in a traditions meeting. I am amazed. I am very thankful. I'm very thankful. And you know, like the traditions in itself, right? You know, it don't even really take a lot to explain, because it's down and dirty, quick dash in a hurry. You can get in and get out. But I've been asked to do something, so I'm going to do my best to make sure that I could do that. First, I'm going to give you some information about how I earned my seat in Narcotics Anonymous. You know, I'm an addict. I said that already. I started walking under the influence of alcohol, which was the first drug. That was, whoever knows, before I was a year old. By the time I was 10 years old, I was seeking my own drug. By the time I was 14, I had a cocaine and heroin habit. I'm out of Baltimore originally. I used to cop in the stables in Baltimore, for those people that remember that. I traveled around the country running from myself, trying to find a better way to get high. Couldn't find a better way to get high, and couldn't escape myself. By the time I got back to Baltimore, still didn't have no problem. It was everybody else's problems, white folks' problems, the school system's problem, my mother's problem, one of my ex-wives' problems, everybody's problem. I ain't had no problems. After I did some more research for a while, I hit a bottom, right? I hit a bottom. You know, if you really hit a bottom, ain't nowhere to go but up, you know? And I was close to that point. A few more, little bit more research. I hit a bottom, and then there was truly nowhere to go but up. I had been exposed to 12-step meetings. I had been exposed to 12-step meetings back in 1969 when I was about 16, 17 years old. But I told you I ain't had no problem, so, you know, that wasn't for me. Many years later, re-exposed again. Now, at that time, I met this guy, and he introduced me to the 12 steps. And I'm going to talk about the traditions, but I cannot talk about traditions without talking about the steps, because in order for me to really get to the traditions and practice traditions with any kind of understanding, I'd really have to go through some steps first, because I wouldn't know how to be a member of a group unless I was able to do some work on me, you know, because I was really messed up. And I'm not all that right now, but I'm a lot better than I was, you know. First, I want to say that the steps are for the individual, the traditions are for the group. What I understand that each one of the steps asks me as an individual to sacrifice and give up something. You know, my own individualism, my selfishness, my money, all of those things that I need to give up, on a personal level, individual level, the traditions ask me to be willing to give up within the group context. And I have to be able to understand that, you know. So that's kind of where I'm at, right? That's sixth tradition. Money, property, and prestige. Now, I also have to say that it's kind of challenging the way that they jammed this topic on me, right? To throw the one word, so now in my head I'm thinking about money and property, money and ego. But the reality of it is, I'm talking about what happens. I'm talking about our primary purpose and how I need to make sure that as a member of a group and a member and an individual within Narcotics Anonymous, that I use the primary purpose to make sure that our message keep going forward and we can keep saving lives and that no addict seeking recovery need ever die, you know. First, I want to tell you about my first experience in understanding about traditions, because I don't think you do traditions in isolation. You know, I don't think that no one tradition is all set by itself. I think that each and every tradition, when you do one tradition or you violate a principle in one tradition, you kind of violate down the line, 5, 6, or 7, or 8 like that. But what happened, I was in a group in Baltimore, and my sponsor had taught me, you know, this is sponsor stuff, right? Anytime they do them 1, 2, 3 meetings, they ain't no good. Then you need to go through all the steps, it's 12 steps. And, you know, so like, that's where I was at. I go to a meeting and they're doing a 1, 2, 3 meeting, right? And so I'm saying, I'm parroting my sponsor, man. Y'all need to do something about this, right? And then one of the old timers, right, said, man, you been too group conscious? And I said, well, you know, I was kind of fresh. I mean, I knew, but I didn't understand that you're not really a member of a group unless you attend a business meeting. You could say you're a member, but unless you really attend the business meeting, how you gonna be a member? So, well, I mean, third tradition say only required for membership is out of stop. But we're not talking about just coming in Narcotics Anonymous. We're talking about a member of the group. So I go to the business meeting, right? And I figure, man, ain't nobody ever sided with me to do nothing. First time I went in front of a judge, I got locked up and did time. So ain't nobody ever sided with me. You know? So they voted in favor of carrying the meeting to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7, 9, 11, 12. And I said, what? Somebody listened to me for the first time in the context of the group. So I said, okay, maybe I need to start doing this a little bit more often. Now, I can tell you that was 24 years ago. I have always been in service. I have always been in service, all levels of service. And I do one of the things I really do well is stay in the background so you don't have to hear my name and know who I am. I want to make sure that the work gets done. I've always been the worker. So now what happened with that is now, sixth tradition, I've had the opportunity to be one of the individuals in Baltimore to have started a lot of meetings, you know, during that process of time. And generally, a lot of the meetings that we started have been in religious institutions. So I've had the opportunity to talk to a lot of the people that run those institutions and make them aware of some of the things that we needed to do in order to maintain our traditions. I had one religious leader to want to give us fried chicken dinners after every meeting. Now, I'm going to tell y'all, I like fried chicken, you know what I'm saying? You understand that? I'm from the hood. I'm just clear about that. Fried chicken. My mother passed, and I have been. Lately, I've been wanting some fried chicken, you know? So when he said that, I said, wow, you know, if we take that from you, then you might want to come down here and give us a sermon. And our traditions, you know, that would violate the message. It would convolute the message that we want to give in Narcotics Anonymous. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with your message. You know, absolutely nothing wrong with your message, but the reality, it would violate what we at Narcotics Anonymous as a message want to give up. And he understood that. You know, this is like a first for me. People really, I mean, I'm a calm man. You know, I run out of breath before I run out of words. You know, this right here, this stuff is unusual to me, to speak and talk about myself from a level And I get paid for a living. So it's like, I'm saying, whoa, man. So now here it is. I understood that piece, right? And I was able to share that, you know. So now I'm still dealing with a lot of other type of clubs. And, you know, we do a lot with the clubs. And you go to meetings, right? And the newcomer be really vulnerable. And you got all of the hustlers, you know. Wrestlers, whichever one you want to call it, they out in front with the hoods popped up. You know, the ones selling all the movies and the DVDs and giving out the flyers for the dancers and the dentists. You know what I mean? Convoluting the message of Narcotics Anonymous, right? And the newcomer get raped in the sense of what's going on with our message and don't understand. We have to make sure that if nothing else, We don't convolute the message. And if you got to be a profiteer, make sure that you hustle, make sure you take it down the street away from the meeting. You know, I mean, really, save the newcomer. I mean, everybody come. I know that I'm self-centered. You know, I know, and by the way, I judge people. I just judge them by the same standards that I judge me by. You know, I judge people. Yes, I do. I take everybody's inventory, and I take mine first because I want to know who the hell you are. And I'm not letting you near me. You know, by the same standards that I look at me as the ones I look at you. So I look at that. And then a lot of the clubs, see, a lot of this stuff in my early recovery, I was introduced to. The relationship to it now is a little bit different, but I'm really repeating what somebody had told me. We start, and then nothing, by the way, there's nothing wrong with no clubs. I'm not saying that. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying is when we use the name of the club and reference the Narcotics Anonymous meeting, we send a mixed message to the newcomer, and not just to the newcomer, to the community. To the community. You have, like, there's some club where, you know, we like to hang out, like, in the corner. We stand in front of the meeting, right, selling more merchandise, smoking cigarettes, drinking coffee, things that we're familiar with and we do regularly. You know, and ain't nothing wrong with that. I participate periodically myself, you know. So, but here it is. You got this community also. I'm not just talking about the newcomer. See, when we do that, we send the message to the community. This is what we about. They can be afraid to let their children walk by us. And then we wonder how come we lose a meeting. Whoa. You know, meetings stand and fall based on the principles that they practice. They stand and fall. Meetings don't fail just because the members don't show up. Man, I know there's some home groups right now that got 4 and 5 consistent members, and the meetings are strong because of the primary purpose. They make sure that they don't convolute the message. And when it comes to the seventh tradition, they are self-supporting. It's like, now, check this out. Who's at your home group right now? Did you make sure in that group that you are in the meeting, in the business meeting, did you make sure that somebody was going to be there to open the door, or did you just run down there and I got to go to the convention? Think about that. This is what they taught me. This is what they taught me, is to make sure that I am responsible. That's one of the spiritual principles that we have to adhere to. And we talk about the 6th, 7th tradition, responsibility. I need to make sure that the meeting goes on. When somebody pick up that schedule, that there's a meeting there. Yep, I did that. I made sure that was going on. Yeah, that's right. Those are the things that you have to do. And by the way, don't misunderstand me. At no point do I do anything with perfection. I mess up and I fail. Sometimes I forget. Sometimes I get so angry at somebody, I don't even care. I don't even want to do it. You know, but for the most part, I do the best I can. You know, so in dealing with the 6th, now, my sponsor, man, the first person that took me through this process, through the grace of God, Moses H., he passed a few years back. He taught me, he said, man, if you really, really, really want to understand about the traditions, look at the family first. I said, that made a little sense to me, but he said, check this out. If you look at Narcotics Anonymous group, and then you take it back to the family, if you remember, were you a member in a family where y'all had a primary purpose and you adhered to that? Or did you do your own thing in the family and try to make sure that you shine? In the family, did you pray together to make sure that you came to a group conscience? Or if you did pray, did you pray for your own selfish wants and needs? And, you know, I couldn't really say that I did the latter. I prayed for my own self's wants and needs because, and if I'm not careful, even today, it's still all about me. It's still all about me. I mean, even though I can recognize it sometimes, don't mean I'm going to change it up. But what he taught me, see, is if I apply that sacrificial spirit of anonymity, Sacrificial spirit. Now, just take that sacrificial spirit a little bit deeper. Sacrifice. When I'm sacrificing, there's a level of love. In fact, when you really sacrificing on a deep divine level, that's all it is, love. And our principle, and it tells us that if we don't have that spirit, that spirit of sacrifice goes through every single thing. It's the foundation. Anonymity is the foundation, the sacrificial spirit. So that means I have to apply this love. I have to be willing to. I think I started there. You have to be willing to give of myself. I have to be willing to, like, in that tradition, in that family, in that group, to be able to say, I can sacrifice my wants and needs. I belong to, I am the member of a particular group conscious, and I think maybe it's about 6, 7, really 3, but 6, 7 active. I mean, you know, it's like one person pretty much, and it ain't me, by the way, one person pretty much is the main trusted servant, not twisted servant, trusted servant. Is, you know, and if we, and we'll, and by the way, me too now, we'll put everything on him. Everything. I mean, you know, we know he'll be there to open it up, right? So we get there late. We know he's going to get the liturgy. And, you know, that's, I mean, I'm just as guilty, but I also had to know that because he do that, if I want to be, if I want to apply the sacrificial spirit of anonymity, then I need to be able to give him that same kind of support that I would want myself if I was in that position. But one of the things that happens because there's so few of us that a lot of times we don't have, we have, haven't had enough money to always pay the donation. They're putting their finger up there for me to speed up. Is that what you're doing? Oh, okay. I just want to know. I just want to know. I mean, I follow directions, y'all. I follow directions. Hey, look, I'm obedient today. If I had been obedient all my life, I wouldn't be here. So when you say, Tom, I'm gone. But if one of the things that happened, what I was getting ready to say, if my memory will allow me to go back to that point, because I will be 60 in a few weeks. I am, but for the grace of God, you know, I've been pronounced dead twice. You know, I've been twice, man. I got holes in my body more than the ones I was born with. Scars. I only see out of one eye. This is all my skin, but everything up underneath is cosmetic. You know, last year, this time I was leaving the convention. Leaving the convention, man. Excited, man. Got me some messages and all of that. Jumped down the steps and twisted my ankle. They had to carry me to the car. And the car was full of so much stuff because, you know, we got money today, y'all. You know, the car was filled with so much stuff, I had to maneuver over that and hop on in there, right? But anyway, let me get back to that. So, anyway, we oftentimes don't have enough money to pay the donation for the rent. Now, what has happened, now I'm going to share one of the things that a few members do. A few members attempt, or they, what they do is they give more to the donation. Instead, now, that can look like, oh, somebody trying to run the group. But one of the things that I do, if I do that, is I make sure I get the same thing to every group. So I ain't trying to run nothing. Same thing to every group. We have to make sure that if we are going to take care of our groups, money is not the only thing that we need to sacrifice and give up. You know, I mean, like, talk about that one person doing all the work. You ever notice in service, you see, you for y'all, for us that's been coming back to this convention for a while, you ever notice that the same people's face you see every damn year? Every year, same people. I don't care what area it is, the same people. Hey, come on now. Where the rest of us at? I said us. I ain't trying to exclude myself. I want to say, well, y'all don't know. I did 17 years of service on the levels already. You know, on all of the different area levels, all the way from the world on. But that don't talk about what's going on now, because in order so you don't have to go back to the basics, you got to make sure you stick with them. If you leave the basics, that's when you're in trouble. That's when we relapse. That's when we find a way out instead of a way up. Okay. So, anyway, so in dealing with that, we have to make sure that in our groups, in the seven tradition, we understand that it's not just money. We have to, trusted servants, trust and service, GSRs, you know, group representative, group service representative. Do you have to have the same person in your home group that's the GSR, the secretary, or the chairperson? You know? And if you do, if it's not you, then what are you doing? You know? We also need to make sure that we have somebody to deal with the liturgy. It could be the secretary. We need to make sure, in some groups, we even have a hugger. You know, somebody to greet you, like it's real fashionable to come to the convention and get on a hospitality committee or a hug squad. You know, it's real fashionable. But do we do that in our own home groups? When that newcomer come in there smelling like crap, that needs somebody to acknowledge them and love them, are we willing to give them that person a hug and acknowledge them in the same way? See, that's what we're talking about in self-sacrifice, the sacrificial spirit of anonymity, to give of yourself, looking for nothing in return in that area. That's what we're talking about. That's what we're talking about. So, six and seven tradition, money, property, and prestige. The purpose of that is to make sure that I can fulfill the primary purpose. To make sure that our primary purpose, our fifth tradition, gets carried out. That no addict seeking recovery need ever die. If I can do that, I probably won't die myself. You know, because I don't want to shoot no drugs, but I do know that my disease will lay over there in the corner in the background in the dark with a whole new outfit on. Might even be disguised as a big buck girl, you know. And slide up on me when I ain't paying no attention and say, "Hey, Khalil, what's up, homie?" You know? And if I ain't talking to y'all, I ain't going to my home group. I'm not providing service, sponsoring people, doing the things that I did in the first few years of my recovery to build it up to be able to be here with 24 years, then I know that I can die. And the death don't always have to be a physical death. See, I mean, I understand that. Seventh tradition, being self-supporting. We have to learn that being self-supporting is not just about money, y'all. It's about making sure that sometimes just to check in with each other. Because it's not just about the individual, it's about the group. If I'm able to practice these traditions in my home family before I come out, if I'm able to utilize the steps and practice it as an individual, then when I come out to the group, I'm going to be much more able to be self-sacrificing as an individual, as a member of Narcotics Anonymous. Thank you for allowing me to share.
That's money eagle right there, folks. Our next speaker, we have the pleasure. All this time, I would like to introduce Sasha P. Sasha P.
Thank you. I'm an addict. My name is Sasha. Thank God for his grace and mercy, and I've asked my creator to allow me to decrease so he can increase, so maybe somebody can hear something that would encourage them to stay here another day. So I won't have a resentment against Khalil. You know, we do take great pleasure in hugging with hospitality, but it's because we received hugs. You know, I keep my clean time uninterrupted in service as well, because when I had 90 days, my sponsor told me I was so smart that if I didn't get a service position, I would smoke again. And I never had a Newport, a Cool, Filter King, or anything like that. but she said I would smoke again. And so they put me on the hug squad, and you people have allowed me to come back over and over, and you ain't put me out. And you've allowed me to do some other things that allow me to say to you that service is the big setup that gets you a clean date in your home group. It's a big setup. I am so honored to be here today because I really know what it takes to be here. And I'm not talking about sharing. I was talking to somebody earlier. And it took me 8 years to want to be here. It took me 10 years to really know that only grace and mercy got me here. And because I know unmerited favor, nothing I can do to deserve it, he won't even take it back when I mess up. Yeah. I love that. That's what the traditions are. You know, you do not, and this is not in conflict of anything, if it's not in the literature, it's not in the literature, right? The literature does not require that you do a cycle of steps to practice the traditions. But if you do a cycle of steps, you will be able to internalize and participate in what the traditions tell you a lot easier. Because the traditions got some crazy stuff in it. And we're going to do 6 and 7, but I know the traditions are like the steps. So the same way that, you know, we walk down the steps, I'm going to walk you through the traditions real quick.